All right, degenerates, we are here for the last week of your regular season. Who needs a win? Come on, guys. We're here to give you your boom bust picks. We're going to give you the Daydreaming Degenerates head-to-head matchups. And I am joined, as always, by co-host of the show, Mr. Steven Sampson. How you doing tonight, Steve?
Good, Brian. What's up, degenerates? Welcome to week 13, the mega battle between Mike and I to see who takes over last place for next year.
Yeah. So we are also joined by your commissioner. You can love him, you can hate him, but he owns your ass in this league. First place, Mr. Eric DeFusco. How you doing tonight, Eric?
10-2, baby. Playoff bound, bye week, clinch.
Yeah,
let's
boy.
Fucking go, baby.
So, we're going to give you your boom bust picks for week 13, but first, we got to hit the mailbag. We got a concerned citizen.
The mailbag.
Friend of the show, Connor, has emailed us once again. Sounds like he's in a bit of a conundrum, guys. He needs our help. Says, hello, Brian and crew. Who is probably the best running back to pick up now? Leonard Fournette is on his bye, and Jerick McKinnon sucks. Thank you, Connor.
So, I think you could argue they both suck.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, it sounds like he needs somebody to start this week. This week. So that narrows down your choices because you're not playing the long con. You know, if we were going to do like somebody to roster for the playoffs or something, like Alexander Mattison's free in a lot of leagues. It's like he's somebody I would look at and say, ah, you know, I'll hang on to him. Maybe something happens to Cook. But if you need him this week, your choices are going to be pretty limited, more likely than not.
There's two names that automatically come to my mind without even knowing percentages of ownership. One of them is, and it's a big if because it depends if he sits, but Devontae Booker is definitely startable this week if Josh Jacobs sits.
Yes, he is definitely worth a pickup.
Jalen Richard might also sit too. So it kind of might just be Booker in a pretty good matchup going up against the Jets. And another name that I can think of, like this is depending on your league, did somebody make a mistake in your league like they did in the Yahoo league that I'm in? And he could potentially be there to pick up. He's probably not. That is Miles Gaskin.
Yep.
He did get dropped.
If they activate him, yes.
Yeah, and he might. That's another one. It's not a.
It's not
guaranteed
set in
that
stone.
They activate him. He was eligible to return last week. They didn't activate him. He could be trending to being activated this week. But yeah, I would poke the waiver wire and see if somebody dropped him. But I probably not.
So, I mean, another name that really jumps out to me, even though it's not a great matchup, somebody that's probably available and could potentially have a starting role again if the starter continues to be injured, is Adrian Peterson. He's rostered in 44% of leagues. He's somebody that should be available, you know, more likely than not. And
but that's a bad matchup against Chicago.
It is a bad matchup, but where else are you going to get a starter?
Well, that's the whole thing. You're right now, you're looking at the waiver wire hope because there's no Thursday game. Gus Edwards is available in about 40% of leagues. He's still available. He at least has a role with Dobbins there. If he's there, he's probably my number one pick. Peterson is in the conversation if you absolutely have to. Booker's probably my second pick.
Well, another, I mean, we have to assume Booker is probably gone. I mean, waivers are clearing, or somebody's going to put in a waiver claim for him.
He's probably gone.
Yeah. He's probably gone if you missed out on him. So Jeff Wilson is a guy who's very lightly owned, and he's back off of IR with that backfield. Mostert, I think, is back. I think he was back last week.
Yeah.
Wilson is somebody that you could possibly plug in. And has a small role because McKinnon does blow.
I don't like his chances of starting, though.
He's not going
to
start.
Or to play, rather, between McKinnon and Mostert.
Right, but you're not going to find a guy on the waiver wire under 40% owned that you're going to be able to start this week.
Well, you have to start him. That's the point.
Well, I understand that. Yeah. But you're taking a chance on no matter who you grab and put in your lineup, they may only give you less than 5 points, because by the time this episode airs, it's going to be sometime Friday afternoon at best. Your waivers have already run.
So, I mean, I think a better play in my mind is Boston Scott, who does get a role even with Miles Sanders in. And they're playing Green Bay, which is the worst rushing defense in the league. He's going to have his chances. And, I mean, I would take a stab at Boston Scott. I'm looking at the list now, and that's immediately who I'm gravitating to. Boston Scott or Frank Gore, who's playing in Las Vegas.
I was
going to
say Frank Gore is probably the one I would pick over Boston Scott, because at least he's the starter. But it's sick.
Yeah.
it's absolutely sick.
Frank Gore is another one that I'm assuming is going to get claimed off of waivers. Boston Scott should fly under the radar, because it's not like he's coming off a big week or anything. And he's in such a soft matchup that he might be able to give you a solid floor with minimal touches.
What's the news on Gurley?
I believe Gurley's still day-to-day with the knee.
Playing? Is he trending towards sitting?
He's day-to-day with the knee, as far as I'm aware.
Ugh, I wouldn't want to play either of them anyways. They're playing the Saints.
Yeah.
Either no. And who you it's a coin flip. Who do you play, Smith or fucking Hill? Like,
yeah. Yeah.
What about, and I know he's going against Baltimore, but what about Tony Pollard with the way Zeke's been playing?
See, Tony Pollard is somebody, like, when I was thinking about the question, I wasn't thinking about this week. Tony Pollard was going to be my answer. He's somebody that I would definitely think about rostering playoff bound, because Zeke has been so piss poor that I wonder if his carries start to increase towards the end of the year.
I got one more name, kind of gross, and I'm just throwing it out there, but he's less than 40% owned. I don't think he's owned. He's probably owned in a competitive league. He's probably already owned, but he's not owned in ours. And it's Carlos Hyde. He out-touched and out-snapped Chris Carson last week. I don't know if that's because they thought they wanted to ease Chris Carson back into his role, but it was kind of a split between them two. In a pinch, he might be playable.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. I just
I would feel sick, like gross, having to do it.
But yeah, I definitely think that
was
healthy
Carson.
Yeah, I was about to say, I definitely think that was a case of, hey, you know, let's ease him back into it. We don't want him to re-aggravate the injury. Chris Carson still got the goal line work too. I'm kind of looking at it like, what's the upside? And I get it. Like, there is no upside with any of these guys. You know, you're looking for that floor, and you're right. He did outsnap him.
And he had 17 touches. Like,
yeah, he had twice as many carries.
Huge.
Yeah. But, I mean, he had twice as many carries, and he only got 20. He got half as many yards.
Oh, he was not good with him. He was not efficient or productive with his touches. But it's, I mean, to find even somebody who can even get 12 touches right now is probably pretty slim. Booker's the play. If he's out there, pick up Booker immediately. And like I said, Gaskin too, because I think Gaskin's coming back. Yeah. I think he's going to slide right back into his role.
So, I mean, let's give our final answers. You know, you got to pick one and go with it. Under 40% owned that you think will not be claimed on waivers. It pains me to say it, but I'm going to say Boston Scott, because I'm so fucking mad at him for getting my hopes up, and I drafted him everywhere and he fucking sucked. But I really think that's the play against Green Bay. Eric?
I mean, under 40% owned, Devontae Booker is only 10% owned. Is that cheating?
Well, yeah, but like I said, you have to assume they're not going to get claimed on waivers, which he absolutely should be.
Honestly, if he's only 10% owned in ESPN today, he's not.
He is, though, because nobody's waivers have cleared. The game was last night.
That is true.
Right. So
That is true.
I mean, you're assuming at the time that somebody can actually listen to this, yes.
Yes.
The waivers should have already processed.
So by the time I put this out tomorrow, everybody's waiver should clear.
Hey,
yeah,
I'm gonna throw this out there. I'd email this kid back right now, because he's not gonna hear this till fucking after waivers clears.
I'm on it.
He went out of his way to reach out to us. You know what I mean? I would definitely look out for Booker. I think Booker, because Josh Jacobs did not practice today. If Josh Jacobs does not practice tomorrow, he is probably not playing. When players don't practice on Friday, that usually equals out. If they even log in just a limited practice tomorrow, that usually means they play 9 out of 10 times. You know, there's that occasion where a guy logs a limited practice on a Friday and doesn't play. But
okay, so for the show, pick a guy that's not going to get claimed on waivers. Best of the rest.
And I'm with you on Scott because he's had at least 8 points in the last five games. And if you just need somebody to just get you some points, he might be the guy. And also, too, just slip into that email for shits and giggles. Just tell him to search for Gaskin real quick. See if the guy who owned him dropped him. Because it does happen.
Yeah, especially
instead of getting a guy for a week, he might have a guy for the rest of the fucking season if he's coming back. But highly unlikely, but you never know.
All right, so Steve, who's your pick?
So as ugly and disgusting as it is, I would have to go with Frank Gore.
Yeah. I mean, people have just kind of ignored him, and he's finally getting the starting work. I think Michael Pirine's IR, didn't he?
With Pirine's IR and out for the season.
Yeah.
And so Gore's been back into his clunky role of ruining fantasy teams everywhere.
And, I mean, Las Vegas is a pretty soft matchup. I think that's a great play.
They give up the fifth most points to running backs. So,
yeah. I'm assuming that Frank Gore will be claimed off waivers, but people will just ignore him. Like, they just assume he's not doing anything. They skip right by his name, and, you know, there's a chance he'll be there in free agency.
I mean, Gore's last three games for Gore was week 9 against New England. He had 7.9 points. Last week against the Chargers, 2 weeks ago against the Chargers, he had 15 points. And then last week against Miami, he had 11. And that's with 12 touches, 15 touches, 18 touches. So he's the lead back. He's sharing work. But, I mean, against Las Vegas, you should get a solid 10 points out of him anyways.
Yeah, and I mean, Miami's defense is good. You know, it's tough to fault the guy for not doing well against Miami.
Right.
You know, New England, I believe when they played New England, LaMichael Perine was still healthy. I remember because I picked him to boom that week.
Yeah, I think that's the week he got hurt. But, I mean, Gore still had 12 carries that week for 46 yards and two catches for 13. So, and you know, 8 points against New England is not terrible.
No.
Frank Gore is what Peyton Barber was a couple of years ago. He's a starting running back, but he's fucking, it's so gross because he's not going to do much that he's pretty much droppable because that's what Peyton Barber was. Peyton Barber had one of the most inefficient running back seasons of all time.
What are you talking about?
I believe it was 2 years ago.
He averaged over a yard a carry.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's great. He finished the year as like RB36 and he like started like the whole year. He was on the Bucks. I mean, it's kind of what Frank Gore is now. I mean, he's just...
It's what Frank Gore's been. He's the same guy that he's been for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
He can very well get you 3 points or he can get you 13.
Yeah.
It's probably about where it's going to fall.
And another guy that you can reach for in absolute desperation is Josh Kelly, who is clearly not the starter, but he does get red zone carries. And New England at times has struggled against the run. I think that they're going to put a lot of effort into stopping the pass, trying to stop Justin Herbert. So maybe there's a little more to be had there. Like I said, that's desperation time. If you're starting Josh Kelly, you're hurting. But if you're hurting that bad, you're hurting that bad, right? I mean, everybody needs a win in week 13. I think that's going to cover that. So let's get directly into our boom bust players.
The boom bust players.
So, Eric, hit me with your quarterback.
Mitch Trubisky. Chicago Bears.
I love it.
Man.
Trubisky is not very
way
good.
Way down.
He is not very good. I think he's better than Foles. At least right now. I will say that. He's better than Foles, dude.
He's Foles better than is Foles.
Fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And at least fucking Mitch can run, and he has a different dynamic to it. He's not a fucking statue in the pocket like Foles. And like Foles just sucks. I've watched clips of that fucking of him 2 weeks ago, Foles. I'm like, dude, he is garbage. Like they might as well just kept Trubisky in there.
But that's kind of my point. I think they're pretty much the same guy. I don't think one's really better than the other.
Well, if you had to pick one, I'd say Trubisky slightly better than Foles, at least right now.
Gun to my head, I'd still take Foles.
Super Bowl Foles, that's a different story. But Chicago Bears Foles, yeah.
Yeah.
The Detroit Lions are like one of the few teams that Trubisky actually plays extremely well against. His last four games, against the Lions, which is every season, excluding his rookie season, he has thrown 12 touchdowns to one pick. He's thrown 3 touchdowns in every single game. He just carves them up. It's just one. It's that one team that he can actually pound.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't just like him as a play this week for somebody in a pinch. I like him in DraftKings, too, because he's cheap.
Yeah.
And I want to squeeze in some top options this week. And I've been finding my way going to Trubisky. As fucking gross as it is, I'm going to play Mitch Trubisky in DraftKings. Sweet. I do like the spot. I mean, 25 points is going to get you top 12. Top 8, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I can get down with that. Steve, who do you have for your boom quarterback?
So my boom quarterback this week, I'm taking Captain Kirk Cousins against Jacksonville. He's the quarterback 11 in our rankings, and Jacksonville is the number 3 defense for giving up quarterback points. Cousins has been on fire the last, other than the week against Green Bay, going back to Atlanta. He's had pretty good weeks every week, so he's the guy. He should have Thielen back. He should have both tight ends back. Justin Jefferson's been on fire. Dalvin Cook should have a good matchup. I think it all spells success for Cousins.
All right. I definitely think so as well. I'm going a little bit riskier. Going back to him. I'm going back. Derek Carr against the Jets. Number 14. He's ranked 14, and it's probably too high. I mean, I have no faith in this fucking pick. Derek Carr fucking blows. It's like, the more I look at it, dude, I might do it. Hold on. Yup.
Dude, he was a number 35 quarterback last week with 2 points against Atlanta.
So, I'm reaching. All right, you ready for this?
I almost reach higher than Trubisky. I want to see if you're going to the guy I almost picked.
I might reach lower. I'm going.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
It was a guy that was ranked lower that I almost grabbed.
I think I'm going to take Mike Glennon. Against Minnesota. Yep. Against Minnesota. Yeah, I'm taking him. DJ Chark should be back. Yeah, I just can't. I can't roll with Carr. He's too fucking bad. And it's like, you know, week 13, this has got to have it time, dude. I can't bring myself to say, hey, you should really put your trust in Derek fucking Carr. I'd rather roll the dice with Mike Glennon. At least I don't know for a fact he fucking blows.
He pushes the ball.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He didn't look too bad, dude.
No, he had a pretty decent week.
Playing the Vikings.
Minnesota's soft. Yeah. No, I'm in. Mike Glennon. I'd rather roll the dice with Glennon and hope he gives me a boom week against a soft matchup. Who do you have at running back, Eric?
So I don't really like this pick. This was like the only position I really had a hard time with. I'm going with my own Damian Harris. I like New England in this spot. I do. I really do. I think this is a game where New England can catch a lead. And if they can catch a lead, I think you're going to see a lot of Damian Harris. I mean, my confidence level on a 1 to 10 scale, it's like a 5.5, 6 maybe that this could hit.
Yeah.
And that might even be a little generous. Just because it's so, like with New England's backfield, you really never know. I don't know. Is Sony Michel coming back? Was he back last week?
He's back. He's activated.
Yeah, he's activated.
Yeah, he's there.
Is he playing? Is he irrelevant?
He's irrelevant.
He lost his job. Harris.
It's Damian Harris's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my only hang up with Damian Harris is James White. You know what I mean?
No, definitely.
That was my hang. I looked real hard at Damian Harris because I thought the same thing, and I just I'm sitting there and I'm like, man, I watched that game last week, and James White got the rushing work too, you know, and he wasn't that great with it, but I'm worried that, like, I mean, any given week, Belichick can just look down the sideline and be like, yeah, Damian, you're not really playing this week. It's James White's week, so sit down, you know. That's the only reason I pivoted off of him. Steve, who do you have?
I took Damian Harris. just simply because Cam is, I don't know, Cam's Cam.
Shit.
The Chargers have the number 10 defense for giving up running back points. We all know that Belichick's going to know that. So it's a very good possibility that Harris and White both have excellent games against the Chargers.
Yeah.
So
plus, I think he wants to take the ball out of Cam's hands.
I believe so, too, and not in a way that he's going to be throwing it downfield. So I think they're going to push the run, and they're going to try and control the clock with this game. So I'm going to stick with Harris. I'm fine with it. If I'm
for the
wrong,
record,
it's okay.
For the record, no, I will not be playing him in our league.
That much
my
confidence.
My running back will be on the bench. I don't need to play him.
You could play Monty. You could take out Monty.
No. I'm going to slightly buy into Monty this week, which means he's going to burn me. And I'm going to hate him again. Hate him even more than I do.
I played Monty this week against Detroit.
Yeah, that's a seriously soft matchup. But I also didn't pick Damien Harris to boom, so I'm not the hypocrite. This name might sound familiar, Steven. Running back, I'm taking Frank Gore against Las Vegas. Absolutely. Like I said, if he's available, if he makes a pass your waivers, fucking grab him, dude. Grab him if you need a starter this week. Absolutely, I would gravitate towards Frank Gore without hesitation.
If you need a starter in a pinch, Frank Gore is your guy, but there's absolutely no fucking chance he finishes top 15.
No.
And I will bear bet that.
I wouldn't beer bet that as well. He just doesn't have...
Brian will take it.
Doesn't have it left.
Yes, he will take it.
We got a beer bet.
Just boom 2 weeks ago. I'll take it. Soft matchup. All right. So, Eric, why don't you tell me who you have for your boom wide receiver?
My boom wide receiver is a guy that Nate is probably happy he has back. Mr. Deebo Samuel. Love me some Deebo this week, baby. San Fran is one of them sneaky teams that I think could make a push for a wild card. They just got Richard Sherman back. They're playing better. They're playing better football. It's still Nick Mullins, but I mean, Deebo just had a monster fucking game. I'm trying to see. Who the hell are they playing?
They're playing Buffalo.
It's kind of soft.
They play Buffalo.
Yeah, they're playing Buffalo. That's right. Yeah, Buffalo's defense has not been...
Yeah, it's nothing to write home about.
No. They looked all right last week against L.A., but I think they're going to revert back to how they were looking a little earlier in the season. So I'm in on Deebo, man. I think Debo's in for another nice game.
Yeah, I can get behind it. Steve, who are you taking?
We talked about him on the last episode a little bit. I'm taking Michael Pittman.
Same.
Going up against Houston with Bradley Robbie out. I think you have to take this pick right here. I mean, I don't mind the Deebo pick either with him coming back with Mullins. There was another name a little farther down that I really eyed as well, but Pittman's been getting targets. I think this is just another opportunity for him to, in a good matchup with Robbie out, that he should have an opportunity to show us what he has.
Yeah, couldn't agree more. I mean, super soft matchup. Right now, he is the number one on that team. So, yep.
Houston had the number 12 defense against defense for wide receiver points before Bradley Robbie was out. So now they're probably going to be top three giving up points.
I didn't even think they'd be ranked that low. It seems like every time I pick against them, I do pretty well.
So I was surprised a little bit that they were number 12. But yeah, I think it's I really don't see any way he doesn't make it in the top 15 this week.
Yep, totally agree. So, Eric, who do you have at tight end, buddy?
So I have an Indianapolis Colt for my tight end because I love that matchup, Houston and Indy. I have Mr. Trey Burton.
I came so close to taking him.
Yeah, I think Houston's going to get fucking mollywops, dude. Destroyed by fucking Indy. I don't see...
Listening.
Losing Roby and Will Fuller fucking kills that team.
Oh,
both sides of the ball.
Slays them.
Roby wasn't a... I think he's not a great corner. He's decent. He's pretty good. He's not elite.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
But... he was their best corner.
By far the best they had.
He was their best corner.
And they got no safety help.
No safety help. They just lost their best receiver. I got to give props to Will Fuller, man. That dude's... I think he's legit, man. I think if he can stay healthy, I think he's a damn good player. I think he's a good receiver. He proved he can actually be a number one. He proved he's actually not just a deep threat, and he's a possession receiver as well. You just lost him for the rest of the season. That's going to kill Deshaun Watson. He's my bust quarterback, for the record.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. I think Indy's going to smack fucking Houston. Like, I'm talking
savagely.
42-10. 42-10. Smack him. I think Trey Burton's going to find himself catching a ball in the end zone, and that is good enough.
Yeah, I love it. So, Steve, who do you have?
So I'm going back to Eric's wide receiver pick, and I'm going to the San Fran versus Buffalo matchup, and I am taking Mr. Jordan Reed.
Oh, my God. Steve, we are so in sync tonight. That's mine.
Oh, fuck it. I'm out. I quit. I can't do it anymore. No, so Buffalo is their weakest spot is against tight ends. And Jordan Reed's targets have been going up. He's got 6 targets last week, 6 targets the week before. Mullins is throwing the ball to him. A couple of the throws last week were they weren't even close. But he's getting the targets, and in a matchup like this against Buffalo, I like it.
Couldn't agree more. The only reason that Jordan Reed is not in my starting lineup is because I have Mike Gesicki against Cincinnati.
So if I knew that Tannehill was going to start, I would have Gesicki in my lineup. If Tua
Tannehill?
Starts, I mean, sorry.
Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
He is probably going to start, I believe.
If I know Fitz is starting, I have Gesicki in because he loves Gesicki.
Yeah.
If it's Tua, I might take Reed over Tua this week.
Yeah, I can always revisit it. I'm assuming Fitzpatrick will start.
Yeah.
Brian, we both know you're gonna make lineup swaps like 10 times from now till Sunday.
Yeah, just panicking.
You're going to put this guy in. Yeah, I'm going to be like, no, I can't put him in. I got to take him back out. Yeah. Because you know every start matters this week.
Oh, absolutely. So I believe we know Eric's bust quarterback pick, Mr. Deshaun Watson against Indianapolis. What a surprise. I also have Deshaun Watson against Indy. Eric, why'd you pick him?
He's going to miss Will Fuller.
Absolutely.
And Indy is, I think, like I said, Indy just got pretty embarrassed by Tennessee last week. I think Indy's going to bounce back. I think Frank Reich's going to get that team ready. That he's going to prepare them well. They're going to show the fuck up this week. And I think they're going to shut Houston down. Houston blows.
Yeah.
Let's agreed. Not. The last thing people remember is Houston shitstorming over the fucking Lions on Thanksgiving. Like, that's not Houston. Like, Deshaun Watson is a good quarterback. I'm a Deshaun Watson guy. I really do like the kid.
Oh, I do too.
I just don't think this is his week.
Yeah.
Even the greats have bad games. And I think it's going to be a bad game for him.
Yeah, I mean, I joked around a lot at the beginning of the season about Deshaun Watson sucks and this and that. He's a phenomenal talent. You know, I wasn't sold preseason about the weapons around him, but like you said, Will Fuller kind of emerged, and I didn't think that Will Fuller was that kind of receiver, but he was. And
well, he really isn't, because he needed performance-enhancing drugs to do it.
Well, as long as you get there, right?
I mean,
whatever you got to do to stay healthy.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, Steve, who do you have at bust quarterback?
So, I am taking Justin Herbert against New England.
Silly.
As my bust quarterback. You say so, but they just held Kyler Murray to one of his worst games of his career.
An injured Kyler Murray.
What's one thing Bill Belichick's pretty good at doing?
He takes out the number one threat on your team, and that is Justin Herbert.
It's not even just that.
Confusing rookie
Bill Belichick has an exceptional track record.
Rookie quarterbacks. Yeah, that's
exceptional.
Yes.
I don't even think he's ever fucking lost.
He does. He's lost 2 times.
2 times?
2 times to a rookie quarterback.
19-5 record against rookie quarterbacks.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, he's lost several.
Well, also, I mean, you also have to remember that he plays in the AFC East. Like, how many fucking quarterbacks have the Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins gone through during Bill Belichick's tenure?
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't play many rookie quarterbacks that play as well as Justin Herbert. I'm just saying. Like, I get your point, and I'm not trying to take away from Bill's accomplishment here, but you know, like when you play Ryan Tannehill as a rookie and Sam Darnold as a rookie and whatever fucking scrub was there before Josh Allen and blah, 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 blah. Like, I mean, they've drafted a lot of fucking quarterbacks over the last 20 years.
Yeah, but so some of the names that he's faced as they were rookies that he's beaten, Matt Ryan, Jared Goff, Deshaun Watson, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, do you remember Josh Jared Allen. Goff his rookie year? Do you remember that, dude?
No, I do. But
he got the name Goff in college, but
yeah.
All of those guys have gone on and we're having good seasons, but Bill just has a way to take it that game and make them irrelevant.
Don't get me wrong. Like I said, I'm not trying to take away from Bill Belichick. Okay. Like he is able to scheme and confuse a rookie quarterback that doesn't fully understand how to read a defense. He is able to make his defense look one way, play another, and it confuses them. I get it. Like, I'm not trying to take that away from him. I'm just saying that he's played a lot of bad rookie quarterbacks.
Real quick, I get Steve's logic where he's coming from, because I looked at Herbert and gave him a long look, but I ultimately went with Watson.
Oh no,
same logic.
I thought of it as well. I just, like I said, like I'm not trying to take away from Bill. He's a great coach. He can come up with a great scheme. He can confuse quarterbacks. He can confuse good quarterbacks, never mind rookie quarterbacks. I'm just saying that I think his record against rookie quarterbacks is a little inflated from playing in the AFC East for 20 years, where they're cycling quarterbacks in and out 24/7 constantly. These teams are drafting new quarterbacks and starting them. I mean, who was that kid? Matt Barkley, Mark Sanchez. Like, it's an endless fucking line of crap. I'm just saying that the record's a little inflated. That's all. I'm not trying to take away from Bill. He definitely could come up with a scheme to confuse Justin Herbert. I'm not saying it's not possible. Let's move on to bust running back. Who do you have, Eric?
I got Alvin Kamara, because I think he's virtually, like, borderline unplayable, so long as Taysom Hill is the fucking quarterback.
Yeah, I have Kamara as well, so for the same exact reason.
Great minds think alike. Yeah, I mean, Alvin Kamara, just he's not getting catches. He's not doing a lot with his carries for whatever reason, even though Latavius Murray does. I don't know if he's hurt. It has not looked good the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's tough. And then you go up against Atlanta, which is they're good against running backs. Well, I don't know that they're good against running backs, but running backs don't score against them. Let's put it that way. Whether it's because everything else about Atlanta's defense is bad. But, yeah, I mean, I'm staying away from Kamara this week.
Eric, anything you want to add?
Just flat out, basically what I just said. Like, he's become, so with Taysom Hill under center, he's virtually become unplayable. He gets no receiving work all of a sudden. None.
None.
Nothing. None. That kills him, because that was a big part of his game when he was playing with Breeze, was that he actually was pretty involved in the receiving game. He's the only person Taysom Hill throws to is Michael Thomas.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like the only one he throws to. Even Jared Cook had a donut last week. And it's like you said, like Latavius Murray seems like he's eking into his work a little more than usual, I feel like. And he's actually doing stuff with his touches, unlike Kamara the past 2 weeks. And Taysom Hill takes the goal line carries. You pretty much need to, when you're playing Kamara, you're like, oh, shit, I need to bank on him getting a 40-yard touchdown. Because, like, if it's inside the 10, he's not getting the ball, really. He might get a crack at a touchdown.
Yeah, so, I mean, but that's kind of what makes me wonder if he's hurt and they're just not telling anybody. Because, like you said, the increased role for Latavius Murray kind of raised my eyebrows. And then I'm sitting there and I'm like, I don't know, that's like all of a sudden, like one game, Alvin Kamara looks like trash, and all of a sudden they're like, "Yeah, let's put Latavius Murray in." I'm like, "Eh, that stinks. There's something fishy with that. I don't know if he has an injury. They're just keeping it off the report, which NFL teams do all the fucking time." But, it didn't.
And they get in
doesn't
trouble,
look right,
right for that.
Yeah, if you get caught,
yes, they do get in trouble for
if
that.
You get caught.
But I mean, it happens all the time. You see it all the fucking time. You know. Somebody's not on the injury report and then comes out and plays like trash. And they're like, oh, you know, my sources tell me he's dealing with an ankle injury. And it's like, well, you know.
Yeah, but the biggest thing for Kamara, even, you know, his is always targets and receptions. I mean, he's, you know, eight receptions, nine receptions, five, seven. And he's getting the touchdowns with the receiving work. He's not getting any of those. You know, he's still... last week against Denver, 11 rushes, Atlanta, 13 rushes. That's really what he for the most part, what he gets. 19 touches against Detroit was his most rushing carries this year. Everything else is in the 12 to 13 range. So he's getting the same amount of touches with the 50, 60 yards production from it. He's getting zero receiving work, and that's where Kamara is making all his points.
So, Eric, why don't you give me your bust wide receiver?
Keenan Allen. I don't really want to go into too much about it.
Yeah, I think we touched on the high points.
We touched on the high points with the Chargers.
It's funny, we're only going to watch three games this week.
Does that mean that you're also running with Keenan Allen?
Nope. I am taking DeAndre Flopkins against Indianapolis.
He's playing. He's not playing Indy. He's playing L.A., the Rams.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But same thing. Same reason.
Even more reason to take him because the Rams secondary is fucking way better.
Yeah. Same reasoning. Just he's not on Houston anymore. Forgetting. The Rams are good against wide receivers. He just got basically taken out of the game last week against New England. So and the week before against Seattle, he finished as a wide receiver 42. So in the last 6 weeks, he's had two finishes in the top 10 and four finishes in the top 40 or lower. So yeah, tough matchup for D-Hop. Sorry, Shane.
Well, I gotta apologize to Eric. I'm taking Terry McLaurin against Pittsburgh. Alex Smith throws a football like it's a full can of paint. I think Pittsburgh's just going to blanket McLaurin and dare him to beat them with anyone else, and I don't think they can, so it's a pretty good strategy. I just think that their number one, two, and three priority has to be to take away Terry McLaurin and fucking make him beat you with everyone else on the field. I think that defense is good enough to do it.
So here's why I can agree with you, but here's why I disagree with you. Hollywood Brown has extreme success against Pittsburgh's defense, and he plays the same style as McLaurin, and he just torched him last week. Wednesday for what, 87 yard touchdown or something like that. So Pittsburgh's going to shut down Washington's run game. And I would say Alex Smith is slightly better than Baltimore's third string quarterback.
Bro, why you got to talk about him like that?
I like Alex Smith, but
no, I meant Trace McSorley. Don't talk about my boy Trace.
Yeah. So I could definitely see them trying to just take away McLaurin. They're excellent against the run. Alex Smith is the dump off king. So
yeah, and I don't think Marquise Brown's getting anywhere near the same coverage as Terry McLaurin will.
Well, they had nobody else to throw the ball to.
It doesn't matter. I don't think they were that worried about Marquise Brown.
Well, they should have been. Because he literally was the only person on the field that could catch the ball. Willie Snead was out. Mark Andrews was out. Dobbins was out. Ingram was out. I mean, you had Gus Edwards, Marquise Brown. That was it.
That's my...
Like I said, I can agree with you, Brian. I can also see where that goes totally totally off.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you say what you want about Trace McSorley, but he's never, like, had his leg cut off. So, you know. You know, Alex Smith 3 years ago, I think, would be just fine, but he is struggling. So, Eric, why don't you give me your bust tight end?
I couldn't really pick a dude. I'm sick of picking Hunter Henry. So I actually picked my own guy. I picked Dallas Goedert. Coming off a monster game, tight end one finish, 20.5 points. There's already rumors of Zach Ertz coming back this week.
Ertz is coming back this week.
Ertz is coming back. And believe it or not, like Philly's pass catchers, they're actually for like the first time in like probably 3 years, actually kind of healthy. Like they have Alshon, they have Rager, they have Fulgham. They have now Ertz coming back and Goddard and Sanders. There's now a lot of mouths to feed on that team. And Green Bay is actually pretty solid against tight ends. I don't really like this spot for Goddard. I'm still going to play him because I don't really care. And I'm not going to, why would I play matchups right now? Like, I got him. I'm just going to play him. And what I get. But I just don't like the matchup for Goddard this week.
Yeah, I can get on board with that. It's not my guy, but okay. Steve, who do you have?
He's not mine either. I have Hunter Henry.
Same. Obvious choice.
Yeah.
Patriots are good against tight ends. And, you know, I don't think it's going to be a terrible day for Justin Herbert, but I think it could be a really bad day for Hunter Henry.
Every day is a bad day for Hunter Henry. but yeah. So, yeah, I think the Chargers are going to struggle in the game. The Eckler is probably the only one that's going to have a good game. And even that, I would temper my expectations.
Yeah,
I do disagree mostly with what Eric said about Goddard.
Yeah, I don't love that either, but I can see the rationale.
I can too.
I don't hate it enough to put up a fight.
No. Where I have him, I'm going to start him.
Yeah.
But at this point, you kind of don't really have a choice, so.
Yeah, all right. So that's going to wrap up the boom bust, and we'll go straight into Cosby's Deep Sleepers.
Cosby's Deep Sleepers.
DeFusco, it's your show. It's your segment. Give us your deep sleeper.
My deep sleeper is hella risky.
Hella
risky. Below 4K. $3,800. In a revenge game. With a backup quarterback. Can you guess who it is?
Not a chance.
Golden Tate. Is my deep sleeper.
Oh my god. With Colt McCoy.
Colt McCoy. But yeah, it's not much of a drop off from Daniel Jones.
Wow. Ballsy. I like it. It's ballsy.
Going up against Seattle. Going up against the Hawks.
Yeah.
Revenge game, baby. Yeah. I love a good revenge game narrative. And they usually never work.
Yeah, I mean, especially I think Golden Tate's cashed. I just don't see it anymore, man. At one point, he was a really, really good wide receiver in this league. I think he's past his prime. And granted, there really aren't any good pass catchers in New York. So why not Golden Tate? I mean, it's got to be somebody, right? I mean, Seattle's defense is weak. So, you know, you would think somebody should be able to step up. So, I mean, for $3,800, I'm willing to take the gamble on Golden Tate. Why not? Steve, who's your deep sleeper?
My Cosby's deep sleeper this week is Breshad Perriman at 3,900. But the only guy in the Jets right now that's catching any passes or doing much of anything. So I'm gonna ride the volume.
Yeah, I don't hate it. To be honest, I didn't know he was doing even okay.
Yeah, I think the last 3 weeks, he's put up 15 fantasy points of PPR each week.
Yeah, it's not bad. Not bad. Basically 12 against Miami, 13.5 against the Chargers, and 27 against New England with a bye in the middle there. But,
right,
you know, that's two, you know, one pretty good defense, one okay defense, and one really good defense. So, yeah I'm fine with that against volume, Vegas, who blows. I'm cool. Yeah, no, that's, to be honest, I just hadn't paid attention to Breshad Perriman. I think you're onto something there. I'm taking Hunter Renfro against the Jets. You want to talk about ballsy? Renfro has spotty games, to say the least. You know, he's coming off a big week, so I don't really like it just because, like, I feel like he can't put two together. But it's such a soft matchup, and it just seems like every time Hunter Renfro is in one of these soft-ass matchups, he becomes the go-to guy. So I'll take my chances. For $4,300, I'll give him a shot. That's going to wrap up the deep sleepers, and we're going to give you our Samson's Deep Flex Play.
Samson's Deep Flex Play.
So, I mean, obviously, week 13, this is a big one. People might be using these players, guys. We can't let them down. So, I'm going to need a good deep flex play from both of you. Eric, who are you taking?
Denzel Mims.
Yeah. I looked at him hard, dude.
Mm-hmm. He's dude 10 points, 3 straight weeks.
Yep.
He might have, and like he got hurt, man, because he actually looks like he might be a decent little fucking player, man. Give him some time to develop. I think he might be a pretty solid receiver. He's already producing, like I said, 3 straight weeks, 10 points. They're going up against the Raiders. The Raiders are not a very good defense. He could see himself even getting 15, maybe even a little. Maybe he catches a touchdown, and next thing you know, he's at 20 points. I like Mims a lot this week. I was surprised he was that low. He was wide receiver 52 in PPR rankings.
Absolutely. I can 100% get on board with that. I love the pick. Steve, who are you taking?
So I'm taking Hollywood Brown against Dallas.
Another one I looked at.
I don't think it's going to matter which quarterback's throwing the ball this week against Dallas. 10 points shouldn't really be that hard for him to put up. High ceiling, boom or bust. But
well, I mean, Dallas, their defense is improving. And if it's not Lamar Jackson, I don't like his chances, personally. As
I wouldn't have had I just not watched Wednesday's game.
Yeah. it was one good catch. I mean, it's not like he tore that defense to pieces.
Nobody tore that defense to pieces, but he had more than just the one catch.
Yeah, he had four catches. One of them being a 65-yard touchdown.
Right.
I think he finished with something like 80 yards, so the other three were for 20 yards combined.
Fine with it. He'll give me my 10 points.
All right, so that is going to wrap up our Samson's Deep Flex play. Hope I help you guys out. Everybody reaching for somebody to replace a Buck, a Panther, an injured player, somebody on the fucking COVID list. And we're going to go straight into the Daydreaming Degenerates head-to-head predictions.
Head-to-head predictions.
So, we are going to give you our head-to-head predictions. We will give you some playoff scenarios quickly. Let's start with the battle for my playoff berth.
Eric, I was going to say we start with the most important matchup of slate.
Oh, no, no, no. We're leaving that for last.
That's DFL?
That
since it is for DFL?
We are leaving that for last, good sir. So, who is going to win, Eric or me?
I'm going to say a date. 9/26/2016. Do you know what that date represents?
The first time you beat Brian.
That is the last time Brian beat me in my league.
Same thing.
That is quite the losing streak, my friend.
It don't mean nothing to me.
I know. But I don't think it's going to end, unfortunately for you. I think my team's going to probably roll to 11-2. And unfortunately, close out the season as the number one seed.
Unfortunately.
I want to. I broke it down today, and I saw where I think everybody's going to fall place in seeding, and I want to. I want Dickie. I want Ricky in round two if they end up winning. I don't want you. I don't want Adisa if he makes it.
Yeah.
I don't. I would rather play Dickie or Ricky 10 times out of 10 over you and Adisa.
Adisa might be the most dangerous team out there.
Yeah. Both of your teams will be better than theirs in the playoffs. I'm just being 100% honest.
Yep. I'll have McCaffrey back. Adisa has Derrick Henry on that soft ass fucking playoff schedule, the softest schedule left in the league for the best running back in the league. That's a fucking dangerous combination. So I get that. I'm going to give you a slight edge. I think you're going to beat me. I don't think you're going to roll. You know, let's calm down a little bit here. But, you know, I mean, I like David Montgomery against Detroit, but like he's David Montgomery. He can crap out any time. But I do like the matchup. I would start him. Kyler Murray, it's like I want to predict a bounce back game for Kyler Murray. But it's the Rams. It's such a tough defense. And, like, I'm really worried that he's not going to perform well. Or I should say I would be worried. I mean, I don't like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, period. I don't think he's very good. And I don't think he's going to have a good game. So, and Terry McLaurin's my bust wide receiver. So, I mean, I'm giving you the edge. I think you're going to win. But I think it'll be tight because I really like some of my matchups. You know, DK Metcalf against literally anybody on earth. But the Giants are pretty good, too. Justin Jefferson against Jacksonville. Mike Gesicki against Cincinnati. DJ Chark should play against Minnesota. I really love some of these matchups. So I think I can keep it close. But at the end of the day, I think you'll walk away with it.
I think I got you on running backs this week, at least, I think. Obviously, you're going to take Montgomery and Robinson over Gibson Gallman. Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams does Devontae Adams things. He's just a lock for 20 points a motherfucking week.
Yeah.
So is DK, it seems like.
Yeah, so that's the thing is I think Adams will probably outperform DK, but I think Jefferson will outperform AJ Brown. So it's like I think the wide receivers are kind of a wash. I think you probably, you might have a slight edge at tight end. I think they're kind of a wash too. I think I have you in the flex. I think you have me at running back, and I think you have me at quarterback. So, like I said, it's close, but I think I got to give you the edge. So, for the next matchup, we have Jared and Dickey. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm rolling with Jared. You know, he's been, what, like the second, third highest scoring team the last, like, 3 weeks and lost. Like, he's on a vicious losing streak, but he does not deserve it. Dickey's team has been playing like fucking trash. He's starting Alvin Kamara and Chase Edmonds, who I think we'd all agree should not be starting. He could go hit the waiver wire for another running back, but he has to roster 5 quarterbacks, so he doesn't have the room. I'm taking Jared without a second guess.
I'm taking Jared, but Dickie's only got 3 quarterbacks now: so. Dalton, Tua, and Roethlisberger.
How the hell did
he? And Dak. He still got Dak.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't count the IR because it doesn't show me that in the box score. No, I'm taking Jared.
Eric, who are you taking?
I also have Jared because Jared's team is way better than his record says. If I told you the second highest scoring team in my league would be mathematically eliminated from the playoffs, you'd probably say, what the fuck? How? That's Jared. Yeah. Jared is the second highest scoring team in my league as we speak, and he is mathematically out of the playoffs.
That's crazy.
Very, very misfortunate season. Shitty matchups. Just like you said, 2 weeks ago he played me, second highest score in the week, and I had the highest score in the week. It was just like last week, I think he was the third highest score. He played the guy who had the highest score again, and so he just couldn't. Just matchups just weren't breaking his way. It happens, you know. There's always that one team. I feel like every year, yeah, I'm going with Jared. He's got a better team, top to bottom.
Coolio. So next we have Nate and Ricky. I'm rolling with Nate Dog. Not even thinking twice. Ricky's team has been playing like absolute fucking dog shit. And I believe in Nate.
I got Ricky. I think Ricky's going to end up just finding a way to win. I don't even really love it, honestly. I think this is like, I would think this is the toilet bowl. No offense to either of them teams looking at it. Like, it's just very... just unimpressive rosters. That's a little harsh. Nate won't even deny it. Like, Nate will admit it. He'll be like, yeah, my team sucks. You know, like, you know, he's still got Dalvin Cook. He's got Julio Jones. He's got Debo. He's got Hockenson. He's got Jonathan Taylor. Yeah. And Hines playing. But I think Ricky's team's going to find a way to win.
Steve, who are you taking?
Who does Nate have in for quarterback and defense? Because it's not showing anything for me.
Because he doesn't have one.
Oh, he's playing Lamar.
If Lamar's healthy.
If
Lamar can play, you play Lamar.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he'll definitely play
150%.
Lamar.
150%.
So I'm
assuming he has a waiver claim in for a quarterback, and that's why he dropped his.
Yeah, I didn't know if, because my computer's, for whatever reason, was being stupid and wasn't loading from the last matchup. But
he's got a claim in on Trubisky. He's probably got a claim in on Cousins, if I was going to guess.
Yeah, I would think.
Yeah, I'm taking Ricky.
A lot of parody around here. So that's going to bring us to our next matchup. Shane versus Brian Martin. I'm taking Shane. Shane's team's been playing very well. And I believe in his team. And not that Brian Martin's hasn't been playing well, but Shane has consistently been one of the top scorers the last few weeks.
I ain't even looking at the matchup, and I'm going with Brian Martin. For the simple fact, Shane, I just fact-checked it. You are 0-8 lifetime against Brian Martin. You have yet to beat him in 7 years. Probably going on 8 now. I think Brian Martin's going to win. Yet to beat him.
Okay.
It's tough. This one's actually tough. I mean, B-March running out there with Zeke.
That's what chased me away.
And Keenan Allen, which I think we all kind of agree is on our bus list. But Shane is running out there with Deshaun Watson, D-Hop, Hunter Henry. DeAndre Swift may not play again this week. It's tough. He still has Will Fuller on his bench, even though he's a cheater.
Yeah, losing Phil Fuller hurts. That, yeah. You know, I mean, it didn't cripple his team, but it hurt.
No. But
no, but dropping from Will Fuller to Sterling Shepard is, that's jumping into the Grand Canyon, dude.
Well, I honestly look at Shepard's numbers the last couple of weeks, Brian. You'll rethink that.
No,
as gross as it sounds, I didn't believe it when I looked at it earlier either. But
well, I mean, he can be as okay as he wants. At the end of the day, he's still going to have Colt McCoy playing quarterback.
He is. But I'm gonna go against history. I'm gonna take Shane.
Yep. That's how you do it, dude. Good pick, dude. That's going to bring us on to the second to last matchup, Justin versus Adisa. Who are you taking, Eric?
I'm taking Adisa. I think all he needs is Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
My man is finna ball out again, I think the Derrick Henry train is at max speed.
Oh, there's no more stops. This is an express route.
Yeah. This is an express route. Yeah.
I'm taking Adisa because he's going to carry some of the points he laid down against me over to this matchup.
Yeah, there were too many to put in that one matchup for sure.
Yeah.
So I'm leaning on Justin's side, and I went into it assuming I would pick Adisa, but I mean, Matt Breida, Corey Davis, Greg Ward, Rashad Higgins.
He ain't playing them.
Who is he playing?
He's playing Gaskin. He's got claims. If Gaskin's healthy. He'll probably play Gurley if he's healthy.
But even Gurley against New Orleans? I don't like that.
I don't either, but it's better than fucking Greg Ward.
You think he'll take out Greg Ward?
Yeah, I think he will.
No, he won't. He's had Greg Ward in like half the season.
I'll bare bet you he takes out Greg Ward.
We got a beer bet.
No way. He'll take out Matt Breida. You'll see. So I'm taking Justin, even though... So, number one, I think this could be a McKissick game, which is another reason I don't like my team. I think McKissick's going to get some passing work. I love Chris Carson. I think he's getting healthy. I think he gets more work this week. All that crap. Tyler Lockett against the Giants. I'm good. Kelsey against the world. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at it, and I think I got to go with Justin. It's just better players, period. And I think Henry and Tyreek Hill have to come down to earth a little bit. And if they don't score into the fucking 50s like they did last week, the rest of his team kind of hurts. It's like he kind of rides or dies with those two guys. And don't get me wrong, those are two really good guys to hit your wagon to. But I don't know, I got a bad feeling about it. I'm taking Justin. That's going to bring us to the matchup of the week. First place in your hearts, last place in your programs. Steve and Mike are playing head-to-head for the Cleveland Steamers Award. Dead last place. Loser takes all. Eric, who are you taking?
Before you answer, I'm changing my quarterback.
From whence?
I got a lock.
Yes.
I got a lock.
I have the number one waiver priority this week. My quarterback is changing from Wentz.
Oh, so I know who Steve is getting. He doesn't even need to tell me. He's getting his boom quarterback.
I'm taking the boom.
He's taking KC.
Kirk Cousins, not bad.
So with that being said, I am going to take
Steve. Don't jinx me. Take Mike.
No, I picked you. I picked you a couple weeks ago when you beat Brian.
Yeah.
Oh, good luck, John. I'd take Steve because he's taking Cousins. And I still don't like the situation for Mike. Evans hasn't been great, but on his team, he has been.
Whenever he wins, it's because the Bucks go off, though. I don't think he can't win a game without those Bucks.
Yeah, no. He's got no Brady, no Gronk, no Evans. So it's bad news.
Yeah.
It's bad news for him. Even though I think that Michael Thomas could be all right this week.
Because he's got to pick up a waiver tight end to put in for Gronk. And Preston Williams. So he's got to play either Mike Williams or Cole Beasley, which is Beasley's fine, actually. But he's got to pick up a tight end and a quarterback, both off of the waiver wire. And Gordon's going up against KC and Bell. I'm picking me.
He does have Mostert. So I'm going to assume, I don't want to assume because you never know, but I would assume he's going to bench fucking Bell for Mostert. But I'm still going to stick with Steve.
Yeah.
I think Mike could piece together a decent team. if he makes a couple pickups.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm gonna ride with Steve.
Yeah, I'm picking Steve as well. You know, he's adding a quarterback that's in a soft ass matchup. I can't disagree. I mean, Mike cannot win without the Bucs going off. It's just that's the way it's gone all fucking year. So I completely agree with both of you, and that's who I'm riding with. Well, congratulations, Steve. 11th place. I'm going to get you an 11th place trophy.
Hey, it's just a participation trophy, Brian. I'm just happy to be here.
It's been an epic battle all season. So,
hey, just wait till I pick my kicker.
Oh, that's what really matters. That's what's going to make or break
Sunday
you.
At 12:59, I'll pick my kicker and stick him in.
So, I plugged in everybody's picks to the Fantasy Football Hub. If Eric's picks ring true, the 6 playoff teams are in order: Eric, Shane, Ricky, Brian, Dickie, Adisa, me. But if I outscore Adisa by 10 points or more, I would get the 6th place because I would have the points for tiebreaker over Adisa. So, subject to change. If Steve wins, it's basically the same. Just swap Dickie and Brian Martin in the 4 or 5 spots, and I would still get the tiebreaker over Adisa in the 6th spot as long as I outscore him by 10 points or more. And mine's actually the worst case scenario for me. Because if my picks ring true, I finish 6 and 7 behind Brian Martin and Dickie. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe they both have quite a bit of points for ahead of me. Do they not?
Dickie does, but Brian Martin's not too far ahead. He's like 20 points ahead of you.
Oh, that's true.
That's catchable.
Yeah, that's catchable.
That's catchable.
Well, yeah, Dickie's, but Brian
Dickie's
Martin...
Dickie's kind of running...
Brian Martin's in 7th, so I would only leapfrog to 7th. Dickie's in 6th in mine. So I would have to get ahead of Dickie, which I can't do. I mean, that's 50 points. It's like, I mean, I guess I could outscore Dickie by 50, but I mean, that's a tall order. So I mean, it's possible. But I'm not counting on that. I'm going to hope I win. If I win, there's no scenario I'm not in the playoffs, but if my picks ring true, I'm going to be on the outside looking in, sitting in 8th place. So, what are you going to do? It's the way it is. I think that's pretty much going to wrap up the episode. And is there anything you wanted to add, Eric?
Nah. You know, all you motherfuckers gunning for wins this week. You know, think long and hard about your lineups, but don't overthink things, you know. Just go with your heart, go with your gut, play your guys, make your pickups, and just cross your fingers and hope for the best, man. It's really all you can do. Overthinking can sometimes cause you to make mistakes. And just like I said, just go with your gut, man. Look at the matchups and say, you know, I mean, don't be stupid. Don't bench like a stud unless it's Alvin Kamara. You can bench Alvin Kamara. I really do think so. It's depending on your team. He is benchable. But, like, you know, just play the guys that got you there. You know, sometimes the matchup's too bad and you got to sit them. But yeah, just don't overthink shit, like I said, and just hope it works out. You know, that is all I got. And good luck, boys. Thank you for listening. The regular season is almost over and it is almost playoff season, baby.
Mm-hmm. And we'll still be coming at you.
That we will.
Steve, is there anything you wanted to add?
This is usually where I say make sure you set your lineups. There's a Monday and a Tuesday game this week, so make sure you put your Monday and Tuesday guys in the flex spots and don't leave them in the running back or wide receiver spots. You may need to change them out if COVID hits late in the week. And you have Mark Andrews in your tight end spot and you don't have anybody to play because Sunday games are already over. So pay attention. This is the time. Playoff season. Good luck.
Fucking
yeah. Fucking what Steve said with the flexes, put the latest guys in your flexes. Don't be like Ricky. It says, when I put my flexes in, I put the guys, whoever's projected to score less, they put in my flex. And I'm like, no, don't do it like that. Put the guys playing the latest games in your flex just to give you a little extra flexibility. If something happens, like Steve said, don't put fucking J.K. Dobbins in your running back spot and you have some guy, Miles Sanders or something, in your flex who's playing Sunday. Like, flip them because, like Steve said, I mean, Dobbins just got COVID. But he could get ruled inactive for something. You know what I mean? You're going to make a quick scram pickup. Now you have more options. You're not tied to running backs only. You can get a wide receiver. You can get a tight end.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I always double check that. The only player I have playing later is Antonio Gibson, but I don't have any running backs in my flex. So he's kind of tied up there, but I can't afford to take him out or anything. So,
And for the record, I will never bring this up once next year. Because we've beat this dead horse like on like probably 10 out of the 13 episodes we've done.
Oh, I've already given up flexes. On this. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I don't bring it up for the people in our league. I bring it up for the few other people we have that listen to the episodes because they pay attention.
So I think that's going to do it for this episode. We really appreciate the mailbag question we had. Thank you, Connor. And if you'd like to join in on the fun, we're going to need a bigger mailbag, guys. Reach out to us with anything at all, playoff matchups, anything. You can leave us a voicemail at 508-343-8010. It will not ring. It'll go straight to voicemail. And you can reach us by email at dddfantasyfootball@gmail.com. You can find our Facebook page. We are the Daydreaming Degenerates Fantasy Football Podcast. Of course, you can send us a direct message there as well. And we really want to hear from you guys. Like I said, anything under the sun, don't matter. We'll talk about it. We got nothing but time, baby. And I think that is pretty much going to do it for this episode. Thank you guys so much for listening. We love having you. Last week, the regular season, set your fucking lineups